So today I'm joined by Jen, Francis, and Emily from the Rockpool Creative, who are a collaborative marketing agency based in Kent and East Sussex. So welcome all.
Hi.
Hi, Simon. Nice to
Hi,
meet you.
Simon.
Hi there. Good to see you all. So look, let's start off. Tell us a little bit more about Rockpool Creative.
Okay, so I'm notorious, Simon, for talking for too long. So if the gals stop me, bear with me there. We were friends separately for years, all with different skill bases. Emily was in catering, and Jenny has been a designer since. Well, for a long time, I don't
Yeah,
want to
Tim
disclose
here.
her name there, her age there. And I was doing social media and advisory. And we decided that really we should start working together. We're all freelance. And we had a very sort of broad conversation, didn't we, about, it's about time we work together. And from that, 5 minute conversation, we've not really worked apart since, Simon, which is why we then decided actually now's the time we should probably call ourselves something. And we moved on from there. So the idea is that you get the cohesion of an agency, but with the freedom of freelance, you only pay for the services that you require. We work with lots of other pros as well that we bring in as and when required, but we're the three main directors.
Okay, excellent. So tell me a bit more about how this sort of collaboration sort of works. Because you're, so as you said there, you're all freelancers, but you pull your sort of resources together. So tell me a little bit about that and the pros and cons of that. Well, I guess primarily the pros.
I think, when you're self-employed, so I've been a self-employed designer for, too many years. And so obviously you have to do every role in your company. You have to do the account, you're financing the accounts, the quoting, everything, things that aren't necessarily your strength. So from a creative, I really want to just focus on my element. And obviously that's something you can do if you were in an agency, you would be the art director or the creative person within that agency. So really, collaborating like this, you get the best of both worlds because you get the support that you would get from colleagues. You have people that can focus on their key skills that they're good at, and you can focus on what you're good at. And the, like Fran said, we're kind of the core team at Rockpool, but it's unended really as far as what skills and services we can offer our clients, because it doesn't just stop with us. The three of us have very broad skill base, but we don't cover everything. So we need photographers, videographers, app designers, all, everything you could possibly think of, marketing, animation, anything that a client could need, they can get from Rockpool. We have a pool of experts and professionals that we can bring in for each job. Everybody gets their independent money, what they want. Everybody's independently financed, and the client will only pay for what they need. We all do a bit of client handling because obviously client communication is something that is needed in every project. But
Yeah,
it's worked
it's
really well
nice.
so far, hasn't
It
it?
has worked really well so far. And I think for me, the psychology behind what we've built is fascinating because I've always been very into psychology, and it's interesting when you look at how different people work. For example, these two are very creative. I'm very logical. So the three of us together, we make a full,
Person.
person, a fully functioning person that gets stuff done. Whereas if we were to be independent and on our own, we might be lacking in certain areas where we can pick that up on each other, which is has worked really well over the
Yeah, it
years.
has, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then look, that, that's the benefits of a team, isn't it? And teamwork in that, together you can achieve more than you could do independently. So
Absolutely.
yeah, so that's great. And Jen, you mentioned there about the other things of running a business because you've all got your sort of skills in marketing and creativity and that sort of thing. But then there's the other things like marketing and sales and those sort of things and finance. So who does that? Do you share that out between you or?
We did a skills audit before we, so although we've known each other for a really long time, we did do a skills audit at the beginning and worked out, who was what they liked, what they didn't like, who did what, and through nothing short of a miracle, Simon, we ended up actually being able to divide those pretty well between us.
Right, okay.
So predominantly, like Emily said, she's very logical. So minutes, contracts, invoicing, bookkeeping. Yeah.
These two aren't allowed to write notes because they are illegible.
Yeah. Well, there's
copywriting.
Though, so yeah. That's a very, it's Emily based. So that keeps us sort of in the straight and narrow. When it comes to sort of the more creative and where are we going to go next and all of those things, that tends to be something I've got. And then Jen would work on something, how it looks. So going back to your original question, like what about the account sort of side and that sort of thing? It will be one of the three of us. Mm-hmm. And with sales, we tend to work together. Mm-hmm. We're quite unusual, Simon. We work, I would say 95% of our client base is based on recommendation. We're mm-hmm. really lucky. Okay. And so it's not been something, ironically, we've had to really
go down the sales road too much, actually, yet.
You know, watch this space. But predominantly it is word of mouth. So,
And usually with clients, they find one of us that they like.
Yeah, and decide that that's who they'd like the comms with. Yeah. And that's a personality-based thing, as Emily said earlier.
Yeah, I think, look, that's a good point because, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's individuals. Ooh. And there's a great phrase that I picked up sort of recently, which, you know, we use the phrase of, you know, treat other people as you would like to be treated yourself. Okay, that's a fairly common phrase. But actually, when you think about it, that's not actually right.
No.
Why treat other people as you would like to be treated? Because they're different.
Yeah, and they're not individual enough. Yeah. And actually, that's a huge bit we do at the beginning of a job with a client is like, how would you like to communicate with us?
What works for you?
We've got a farmer that we work for, and he said, I won't email. So please don't email me. And that, okay, that's fine. There are certain things you have to have via email, you know, your contract, things like that. But ultimately, we don't. So he wants his comms to be either face-to-face or on the phone, and we are able to adapt in accordance to that. And the other pros that we had and brought in from that, from our poll, as Jen said earlier, we said exactly the same thing. You know, you're not going to get a reply via email. Don't email. It's quite individual to the client, and that should we should be allowing that flexibility, actually.
Yeah, well, they're ultimately paying us. That's the point. Should be run. We should be able to adapt to however they wanted the project to work. And I think that's really important for us.
Yeah.
To ascertain what that is and work within those remits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, great customer service. And look, you're obviously doing something right in terms of, you know, great customer services and treating people as they want to be treated with 95% recommendation. So you've obviously got a lot of people telling other people about you. So, you know, you're doing a lot of things right there. So when did you actually come together as a collaborations? Because you were all sort of, if I understand it correctly, solopreneurs before. But when did you come together as a collaborative marketing agency?
I think it was back in 2018-19.
Okay.
Not that long before COVID. We had some illness, one of us, I think. And then
that would be me, yeah.
We suddenly thought, hang on, what are we doing? Because I think there was a couple of small projects. I think I had a client and then I reckon they wanted something that was out of my ability. So I said, oh, actually, Frank can do that. Mm. So there was a couple of projects that I recommended to these guys and vice versa. And then we said, hang on a minute, let's, you know, they're getting an invoice from you and they're getting an invoice from me. And, you know, it's not, it's more reassuring to the client when everything's kind of, and under easier when everything's under one roof and with one.
Yeah, and you know, one bill, package. One contract, one compliancy, you know, all of those things. It's just easier for the client.
So we started and we said, look, let's form it. And we came up with a name and actually kind of overnight we built a website because that's one of the things we do. Yeah. But it wasn't
everything we wished it would be.
It wasn't particularly brilliant. It wasn't really a showcase because we had the jobs coming in, so we just kind of had to get something up there and have a presence. So before we knew it, we were busy and, you know, cogs are in motion and it didn't really stop. Not so long ago, we actually revisited all of our own digital media and our digital presence and given that
overhauled the whole lot.
Fresh lick of paint. But since we started, I think I've done two tiny kind of local minor little jobs as Jen. Almost everything has been Rockpool work. So it's nice to have all our eggs in one basket, I think. So
Yeah, well, I think it's quite eye-opening, wasn't it, to work out how many of our clients, even if they were coming to you just for design, how many other aspects they could require assistance that would fit us or others. So it was nice to be able to offer that cohesive package to people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, why go to 50 different places when you can get it all in one spot?
Absolutely.
Yeah, not everybody initially knows or understands fully what it is that they need. They may come to you, as you say, for a website, but actually not, you know, fully understanding the other bits that can really add to that. And as we know, 1 + 1 doesn't necessarily always equal 2. If you do it properly, it can equal 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
So has it been everything you expected it to be since you set it up?
I would say yes. I think one of the things I'm really proud of, actually, is that we're quite readily able to evolve and want to evolve. I think Jen and I would like to evolve at a speed that's probably not realistic. And Emily, thankfully, is there going, if we could just work on stage one before we get to an awards ceremony. So one of the things that we sort of, my sort of proudest bit of the last sort of, I don't know, 6 to 8 months is being able to offer our advisory service as a standalone. Mm-hmm. So what was happening was our clients were coming to us, and like you said, Simon, they don't necessarily always know what it is they need.
They know they just need to go somewhere with it.
And so we ended up going, okay, well, really should have this. And if we're doing that, that bit's missing. And your Google business says it's shut. Maybe someone could look at that, and who's got that? And then it was a case of going, okay, well, there are people, though, that work in-house on those sorts of things. So that doesn't necessarily need to be us implementing that. If you've got somebody there that does those things, why are they not doing it? So then we brought in what we call micro dives and deep dives, which is exactly that, as a standalone offering. So that we go in, we look with fresh eyes at absolutely everything in the public domain, potentially point of sale in store or in the shops or offices, everything, every element, and, you know, basically list it and go, okay, this is what needs to be done. If you'd like us to do it, let us know and we'll quote you. But if not, we can come in and train XYZ in doing that in your in-house, or there's your document and your to-do list, if you like, and your homework. We wish you the best of luck. Let's know how you get on. And that's been I've really enjoyed that.
We found it very eye-opening when we first started working together, how many agencies or, you know, people doing the job that we did would tie people into retainers that kept them, you know, coming back because they had to. They wouldn't give them their full access to their own digital property because they knew that would mean they could send them a bill when they come to them and say, oh, could you change this email address? And that was something that when we discussed, we said, that's really something that we want to lean completely away from. If somebody's coming to us and buying, for example, a branding package, once that's completed, they have everything. It's theirs. They've paid for it.
Absolutely.
So therefore, we can't. Why would we hold on to any of those aspects? If they want to come back to us, then absolutely wonderful. If they don't, they're more than free to never speak to us again. We've provided the service. They've paid the money. I really disliked the sort of
I don't have
holding on to it.
It was a domain story, wasn't it? Sorry, I didn't mean to touch you. It was a domain story.
I like that sort of thought process there. In you know, the. Basically, if I can sort of summarise what you said there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you sort of said you want your customers to want to come back to you rather than have to come back to you.
And that's exactly it, Simon. The domain story I briefly mentioned there is we had a client come to us. It was their name. Their business was called their name. And their web designer had purchased their domain. They went at it with, you know, a level of, you know, what I would call, you know, reasonable ignorance. They didn't really know what they were doing. And
they trusted them.
Yeah. And the web designer wouldn't hand over their name, which was their domain, their URL, as a digital asset. They wouldn't, and wanted it to be sold back to them. Now, I wouldn't like to speculate what went on under the water there. You know, you never know, do you? But ultimately, as Emily said, that was something from the off. We were like, no. And you've had so many times, Jen, haven't you, where you've had to redo logos and redo branding because...
Yeah, I've even had to rename a business before because of lost assets and domains and things like that. Diversify, which we turned into a positive thing for them in the end.
Of course.
But yeah, that integrity and trust with our clients is something we really pride ourselves on.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Okay, great. So Look, if you had to start from square one in business again, if you could take yourself back to when you started out, what would you do differently?
It's an interesting question.
I'd like to have our own digital assets, our own website, our own branding. I would have liked to have had maybe a small pause to allow ourselves to do that
To get
rather than a
that all up to scratch in the
refresh.
beginning,
Yeah.
No business has that time, do they? There isn't, it doesn't really
One for
exist.
us, it is a busman's holiday. Although I don't know if I would really,
It's a
as well, at the
difficult
same
question
time,
because
it's,
there's
yeah, it's hard.
there's so much. I mean, God, we're not doing everything perfect or right at all, and we
No.
haven't, but we are very good turning a negative into a positive, and we are very good at recognizing when systems and processes aren't working right, and like Fran said, evolving and diversifying. We are really flexible with the way we work, and we're always growing and changing and learning, and that's paperwork, that's the way we work, that's the way we are with our clients, everything. So I don't think that's ever going to really stop, and probably nor should it. So it's hard to say what we would have done differently, because we wouldn't have got to where we were and learned the lessons we've learned if it didn't
Pan
go
out
the
how
way it
it
did.
did.
If
Great,
that
no, great answer. I like that, because as you say, we are who we are through the mistakes and the things we've learned from over time. So, but it's what you sort of said there is quite sort of common. Well, first of all, the thing that you sort of said there about it's a busman's holiday, that they always say, for instance, that a builder's house is never finished, because they're always working on other people's houses, sort of, rather than their own. So I get that. But yeah, what you said there is quite common, because when you think about it, when you first sort of set up a business, what's one of the most important things? To start getting cash flow, because that's how a business survives. But actually, there's these other things that need to be put in place at the same time: the systems, the processes, the what I call the foundations of the business, so that when you build on it, it's a strong business. But that doesn't always happen, because if you're good at what you do, you generally get busy, and then the foundations get forgotten about. But it's great. Well, the other thing I really liked that you said there is about, you said about the continued, learning, and the continued, and that's never going to change. Which is absolutely true. I mean, I think we'd all be really naive to think that, oh, I know enough now, I don't need to continue to learn. I mean, if we take AI as an example, what if we all we'd all decided, 2 or 3 years ago, not to learn anything more? Therefore, AI, we're actually going backwards, because we wouldn't be learning anything about how things are evolving. So I think that's a very good point that you make: continued learning from what we're doing and what's happening around us. I like it.
Absolutely. And I
I mean,
think
we've
if you look
never
at
built a we've never built an agency before. The structure, like, I've worked in one, so I know how it works, but we've never built a business or an agency. So there was no blueprint to follow, or there are other collaborative marketing agencies out there, not very many. I mean, it's quite a new thing. It just organically happened with us because of our circumstances. But after COVID and everything, I think there are more and more freelancers, out of choice or not, or redundancy or whatever it is, and the work from home culture, that more and more people are independent but also part of a team.
No, absolutely. And to be honest, the majority of businesses are formed organically. It's generally from, somebody, let's say a plumber or an electrician or something, that they've left school, they've got their qualifications, they've gone to work for a company, and then for whatever reason they've gone, actually, I'm going to set up my own business. And then the business sort of grows from there, or hopefully grows from there. Unfortunately, I don't know whether you know the statistics, but 60% of new businesses fail in the first 5 years, and 90% fail in the first 10 years, which is, I find them outstanding statistics, and just a real shame. But look, you mentioned that we were talking there about learning. What would you say your biggest learning has been since you've been in business?
I think the okay, when you really know your subject, the assumption that the person that you're talking to or your client or whatever has the same depth of knowledge as you or would understand. So we recently completely scrapped and redone our proposal system to be much more, we were, again, going back to the integrity, we were very conscious that we weren't giving them a glossy car magazine brochure, like, look at all the things we can do. You know, film, so there were, it was quite fact-based, like, you know, not quite as you will get your website, but, you know, it will be 5 pages, it will include this, it will include that. But there's a whole other, you know, well, now we've discovered 3 further pages of things that we were doing part of the course. And actually, the assumption that people knew that they'd get their digital assets, because that's how we wanted them to, like Emily said earlier, that integrity, you will get those. That level of advisory that comes with every single job we do, whether we want to do it or, you know, that was, well, that's organically coming, that happens in every job we have. But there was this kind of unexplained element to the client.
Level of service.
Yeah, the level of service. And the, you know, and also, so we reformatted those. So our proposals went from 2 pages to 18. Not because we, just because we were more detailed in explanation, actually because we were doing ourselves a misservice and the client by not saying, well, no, we already do that. I think somebody said to us, didn't they, or should I get whatever it was with the job? And we were,
yes,
of course you do.
Yeah.
That's standard for us.
Yeah.
But what's standard for us clearly is an industry standard because this is quite a unique. So it was then about going, okay, well, this is a gap, this is a mistake, this is what we need to rectify and
the
fix
client needs to know absolutely everything they're getting for their money. If they read every single page or word of that, it's up to them. Ultimately, they can skip to the end, but they need to know everything that is included in what we're offering them.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. I think that links into one of the points that we mentioned earlier about everybody being different. Some people will want to know absolutely everything that you do. They'll read your 18-page document back to front, and they'll probably point out, you know, if they see a grammar mistake in there or a spelling mistake or something. Other people will just want a summary. I'm not worried about the detail. Just tell me the summary. And that's, again, because we're all different. So to be able to provide something to somebody, or, you know, that no matter who they are, they can get what they need. That's a great point. That's a great point. I like that. And look, there's a question that I'd like to ask each of you this question, but there's a question that I like to ask people on these sort of interviews or discussions is, what's the best advice that you would give an 18-year-old you? So who would like to go first with that one?
Go on, Jennifer, I'm prepared something.
I'm pretty sure I thought of something.
I did think of something, but now I don't know if I want to say it. I think you would tell me that it's going to be okay, and that you can and you will, but don't leave any stone unturned, I think. Don't try and be more haste, less speed. I think that's kind of, it was there's an element, I think, that comes from being a teenager where you're rushing and you don't realise actually taking a bit of time there would be more beneficial than sort of rushing through. So
great advice there. You can and you will.
Yeah.
But don't rush into it.
Yeah.
Okay, like that.
Yes. I've been self-employed my entire sort of working career. I became self-employed when I was 18.
Yeah.
And I have been ever since. And I've dabbled in sort of working. But I think what's happened over the years is I've become unemployable.
I think that's
because I've worked for myself for so long. I can't imagine ever going back into that. And that was something that when I was younger really concerned me, like how, if I get used to this kind of way of living and this kind of way of working, how will I ever, if I have to, go back the other way? And actually, I think that what I would tell myself back then now would be, well, you don't ever have to. There is always an aspect of, if you've got skills that you can provide to somebody and you are that way inclined and you work best as a self-employed person, then you just got to keep planning ahead and working out ways. I mean, my industries were so different. As Fran said, I started off in catering and I'm now in digital marketing. They couldn't really be further from each other. So yeah, that I think.
Yeah, again, another sort of great bit of advice there, because because if you don't have that plan B, I can always go back and be an employee.
Mm.
You'll make it work being self-employed or owning your own business because you have to. Mm. If you've always got in your mind, oh, I can always go back and get a job if I have to, then you're not as focused on making what you're doing work. So yeah, like a great bit of...
And if you've spent the time as well getting qualifications and things like that in an industry that you're going to go and be employed in, you can end up feeling a bit like you're missing out on those skill sets if you're working for yourself and, you know, ploughing on through in that sector, in whatever industry you're in. You can feel a little bit like you're missing out, whereas actually as I've grown up, I feel like that's entirely the opposite. The experience and the sort of time in the field is much more valuable to me than you know, having gone to university for me personally. Mm. And
yeah. No, I agree. There's something to be said about getting that balance between education, but also the right, you know, life lessons, you know, and attitude as well is really important. On one of these business spotlight interviews before, I spent a lot of time talking to a managing director of a large business, 100 employees, about attitude and aptitude. You know, when with people and attitude towards what you're doing and your approach is really, really important, as well as aptitude.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so Jen, what about you? What's what advice would you give an 18-year-old you?
Well, 18 is tricky because I was just starting uni and didn't really think very far ahead. But I know that I was always very anxious that I would be able to end up in a career where I could just be creative and just have lots of ideas. Similar to Fran, it would be probably just a case of reassuring myself. I don't know if it sounds really big-headed or a good thing, but I am exactly where I would have wished that I would be at this age. Because my father worked in design. It's literally in my blood. I went to uni, I did packaging and branding, and if I could have had an agency when I was older, that would have been my dream. Like, I wouldn't have believed it. So it's been a really kind of round the houses way of getting to it. I had kids quite young and la la la, but I'm here and we have an agency. I have an agency with my best friends. We're all independent. But you know, it's literally where I'd have wanted to be. So it would have been telling myself to just stick with it, keep having lots of experiences that improve my creativity and things really.
Yeah. Again, I really like that, in that, you know, the path to where we want to get to isn't always a straight one. It can be sort of windy and there can be obstacles and all those sort of things in the way. But actually continue to focus on what it is that you want, and it might be a roundabout way that you get there. But if you focus on it and you really want it, you'll get it. Yeah. So again, I like that. Well, look, you know, Francis, Jen, Emily, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today and sharing more about your business and also your journeys as well. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Simon.
Cheers, Simon.